It's strange because you would think maybe when you're younger, you're open to more. And the older I get, the more open I get and willing to grow. So I'm still growing, still evolving. It doesn't end. The growth never stops. It continues throughout your career.
Welcome to Rec Reflect. We have Trent Kelly here with us today.
Hi, I'm Trent Kelly with the City of Grapevine and Trapp's current president.
We get to talk to El Presidente about some of his big plans for this year and how he's encouraging people to get involved with Trapp's like he's been doing for a long time.
He lists the host of people that have been influential in his leadership and also talks about his leadership style, which is team building. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to Rec Reflect. We have Trent Kelly here with us. So go ahead and introduce yourself, Trent.
All right. Trent Kelly. I am a deputy director with the City of Grapevine, and I'm currently the Trapp's president. This is, I think, the 8th month of my term. So I've got about 4 or 5 months left in this term, and then I will move into the past president role.
I've been hearing a lot of like 4 more years chants going on today. Are we good with that? How's it been this last 8 months, this kind of craziness that is being the Trapp's president?
Yeah, so for people that don't know, when you're president, you serve a 3-year term. You serve a year as president-elect in support of the president. You serve a year as president, and then you serve a year as past president. And that year at past president, it's to try to help wrap things up and try to help things get accomplished for the current president, and then try to give some advice to the president elect. So these 8 months, and actually these year and 8 months, as you know, Aaron Hart preceded myself, and the thing we try to do is we try to build upon each other's presidency. And so we had some business to do together in the retirement of Dr. Lord, celebrating that the right way. We had the hiring of the new executive director, Erin Franz, which she's amazing. We're extremely fortunate that we were able to land her. And then we've had to work on rebuilding the entire staff. We lost Jessica, we lost Julie. And so bringing in Anna and Tori, two people that have experience in the Parks and Rec side, and they have Trapp's experience. We've got an amazing team built. We had to veer off the path a little bit of what we thought we were going to be doing this year, but we're really set up strong for the future of Trapp's and to keep moving the organization, the society forward.
So can you touch a little bit more on kind of what the involvement is? You mentioned building the team for Trapp's, and Trapp's has its own group of professionals that are with the nonprofit that are kind of running things. But you have not only your job with Trapp's or duties with Trapp's, but also in a whole another life and job that you're working on. And what has the balance been like being a part of those big decisions with Trapp's as a team?
Yeah. So anybody that's running for Trapp's president, you have to make sure first you have the support of your city. And so I've had the full support of my city. They're extremely Grapevine's extremely understanding. They want us to be leaders in our industry and pushing the envelope for the profession. And so they've been extremely supportive of me in that role. It is a challenge at times because you, Trapp's, you have so many meetings statewide. Now, I will say this, if there is any positive from the pandemic, one of the positives it did bring was that virtual meetings. And so when you were Trapp's president, you were driving all over the state all the time. Now I'm able to participate in a lot of the meetings virtually through Zoom, Teams, whatever platform it is. But we've been able to, I feel we're able to actually get more accomplished than maybe you could have as president in the past, because you have such access to the entire state, right there at your fingertips. So it's again, it's busy, But the balance is much easier now in the world that we live in.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's kind of been your traps journey? Because we've been talking to a lot of people today about saying yes to traps or saying yes to getting involved with things. We've had a lot of people ask us, like, hey, I want to get more involved with traps. I want to do more of these things. And being willing to say yes if you're able to.
Yeah.
So what was your kind of first initial saying yes to traps? And what's been your journey getting you to be in? We're sitting with someone who's the president of the organization now. Like, what's been that journey like?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, for me, I would have never even thought about, dreamed about trying to be president of traps. Probably there were probably a couple of years I was not involved my first 2 years. Because you're just you don't know. You're figuring out the profession. You don't know exactly what's what. And so after a couple of years, I noticed a lot of my colleagues were involved in traps, and so I joined. And then I got involved in was the North Region. Monica Sue Walsh, she was the former director of Colleyville. She's now retired. Was extremely welcoming. She was, I think at that point, she was our region director. Now it's Traps North Region. It used to be, we used to have numbers for the regions. I think it was Region 4 or Region 7. I can't remember. But I got involved under her, just serving on a committee, and then expanded into hosting golf tournaments and really networking is what I was doing. I was meeting all these people from different cities at all different positions, and I enjoyed it. I mean, it really, you know, if you're a young professional that doesn't feel connected or doesn't, you know, where do I fit in? It's such an amazing tool to quickly expand your network. And so I got in there with that. And again, I'm not some overly outgoing person that's going and searching out people. And it was just one of those things. I got in there and was a part of it. Then it eventually became, I started hosting the North Region Golf Tournament.
Which is awesome, by the way, my favorite event every year.
Well, thank you. We love it. We think it's a great networking event. Yeah. Then I got into, after that, I got into membership. I was actually on the state membership committee, and as much as you put into it, that's how much you're going to get out of
right.
it. There's been people on that committee in the past that may not have gotten much out of it. I got a ton out of it because I got to know a ton of members. I was calling people as they were expiring. I was calling people to welcome to the society as they were new. And from there, I was asked if I would run for the North Region director. I really had no interest in running against any of my peers in the field, but I did. They convinced me to go ahead and run for that. And so ran for the North Region, and I served two terms there. And then I rotated off, and I can remember them. They called me to ask me to run for president. And I said, okay, well, who would I run against? And it was Aaron, my friend, Aaron Hart. We've come through traps together. And so I said, no, I'm not going to run against her. And so.
So here first, Aaron got the president role because you bet.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No, she got that on her own merit. But after she became president, she reached out to me and asked if I would be interested in running. And
yeah.
Of course, a chance for her and I have served in traps our whole time together, and an opportunity to serve again with her in that capacity. I would definitely jumped on that opportunity, and then here we are today. It's been extremely rewarding. I would encourage any professional to get involved. It can change your career. It can change your path. And again, I've had, you know, the thing I would encourage everybody on is what kept me going and what made me even think this was possible was I had other professionals speaking that into my life. Mick Massey, Monica Sue, Doug Evans. Every time I came across them, always encouraging me, hey, you're going to do great things. Hey, you're going to be a leader in this society. You know, just always words of encouragement, always pushing me to do more and to expect more of myself. And you know, I think all of us, any of us in this profession, if you find those people that believe in you, that speak into your life, I think you can really excel, and you can go further than what you expected of yourself.
Yeah, I think sometimes people think the word networking is a dirty word sometimes, you know what I mean? Like people say, oh, you're just going to these things to, so you can get a better job in the future type deal. But I think when we look at networking as building a community of people who are going through what you're going through, it really serves a purpose. So that's what Traps is about a lot of times, right? It's fellowship together and again, not worry about what your position is at this point in time, but more like, hey, we're going through the same stuff here, and networking with those people to kind of learn from them, right, is a huge thing.
Oh, I 100% agree. And I would tell people, you don't need to worry about what your position is to get involved. When I became the North Region Director, I think my position was supervisor. And again, I think that's what it was. When I got elected as president, I was a manager in the facility. And now my position is deputy director. But again, I never worried about where I was in my career. My thing was, I was willing to get involved. I was willing to do everything I could for the society. And I had this support network that from Traps, I had the support network I needed to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. You've given a lot to the society, obviously. What are some things you've really gained? I know we've kind of touched on, what are some things you've gained from it from your perspective?
Oh, friendships, just knowing, getting to know people from different communities, different cultures that maybe I wouldn't have known otherwise. If I just sat in Grapevine and did my job and went home after work, then, you know, I would have never met you two.
Yeah. Lucky you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But there's so many people I wouldn't have met. There's so many things I wouldn't have learned. And you grow and it's strange because you would think maybe when you're younger, you're open to more and to growing more. But the older I get, it seems like the more open I get and willing to grow. So I just think it's, you know, for me, I love Traps. I love NRPA. I want to be involved in these because I'm still growing, still evolving. It doesn't end. And so, you know, I want to encourage everybody with that the growth never stops. It continues throughout your career.
You say a few interesting things that, like, you're not done learning yet. And I think that's, especially for our younger listeners, they would be very surprised because they see you as the deputy director and the president of Traps. Like, this guy has arrived. He is at the pinnacle of his career. Like, he is the top dog right now.
Yeah.
And to hear such humble words like, well, I'm not done growing. I'm not done getting better.
Yeah.
I think it would really surprise some of our younger listeners because I think especially when we're young, we think about outcomes, not process.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want that job.
Yeah.
And what you're talking about seems really like process oriented. And Will, you noted a few things about networking. It feels like networking for Traps is more capacity building for our community.
Oh, that's a good one. Write that one down.
We're not only like, hey, the networking, like, because you know a cool job may pop up.
Yeah.
But like, I call Trent, like, you can call Trent in a couple years and like, hey, I'm going, this is an issue. Like, have you ever dealt with this thing before?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, absolutely. This is exactly what I had to deal with. Like we network so that we can have access to people's info, like their knowledge base.
Yeah. You're spot on. And I'd like today listening to Kate Meacham, listen to her speak, I was in there taking notes and gleaning information that we could use in Grapevine from her. And the thing is, if I know Kate because of Traps.
Yeah.
And so now I come to the conference, and after the conference, I can reach out to her. I can reach out to Will. I can reach out to yourself, Jordan, if I need anything or have any questions. Just like you were saying, if I need anything, I'm able to. I have such a vast network, so we're not always recreating the wheel. We're not always reinventing. And again, if you're having issues in some area, it's somebody you can bounce these issues off of that maybe they've experienced it already.
Well, I think it's important too that it might be somebody you can bounce ideas off of who doesn't work for the same department, city, or any involvement with what you're doing, right?
Right.
And it's like, I kind of need an unbiased opinion here. I need to step back and have somebody who doesn't have any skin in the game in this to really kind of give me some advice and kind of help me learn from this, you know?
Yeah. So, Trent, you said an interesting phrase, like, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. And so, like if we're always having to individually in our positions figure out our own ways to fix the issues that we go through, and we don't get to learn from our predecessors or our peers, then like we don't see growth as a field.
Correct.
Like we're never able to get to those like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like to the yeah. top levels.
Correct.
And do some really cool stuff in recreation. So I like that, like the pressure on ourselves is to ask for help so that we get to those levels of, you know, I hope in 20 years that I hope this podcast doesn't age well.
Yeah.
Because they're like, this is what they dealt with. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, we're so far beyond this now.
Yeah.
Like, this is like kids stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. So
we should do a time capsule
episode. We should do a time capsule episode. So do it in 20 years.
There you go.
50s.
Well, yeah, that's true. Some of us will be very close to our 60s, by the way.
Some of us will be beyond that. So not to say any names.
So yeah. I wanted to kind of shift gears a little bit, and I wanted you to kind of talk and describe what your leadership philosophy is, because I know everybody, they see you when you speak and they see you as like a prominent figure, but maybe not everybody gets the opportunity to have that one-on-one and get a sense of like who you are as a leader.
Okay.
And that personal relationship side.
Yeah. So my leadership style, and this is kind of what I specialize in, is building teams. I find people that are highly qualified in different disciplines. I put them in those positions, and I give them the tools they need to succeed. And I mean, it's nothing complex. It's a pretty simple principle, but you know every division that I have, and whether it's Traps or whether it's Great Mind, whatever it is, I'm always looking for experts, for innovators, for people that have vision that are, you know, looking beyond where we're currently at. Get them in leadership positions, and then provide them the infrastructure and support they need to, you know, kind of like we talk about with Aaron, our new executive director. Michael Ann did an amazing job with Traps for so many years, built an amazing foundation, and we're not looking to change anything Michael Ann did. We're looking to continue to build upon it, and just like you're talking about this podcast, hopefully we look back at Traps in 10 years and it's completely different, but it's great because we kept growing. We kept morphing. We kept moving towards what the next thing was. And so, that's my leadership style. And again, everybody has a different style, but that's the way I like to do it.
That's very reminiscent of, so Barry Switzer,
mm-hmm.
he was noted as, do you know who Barry Switzer is?
Football coach.
Yes. Had a boy. Well,
yeah, Sooners and Cowboys.
So he was noted as like he talked about he wasn't the greatest coach, but he could get the greatest coaches to be a part of his staff.
Yeah.
And so I like that was clicking for me. Okay. So with this leadership style of building a team,
uh-huh.
right now, if you were having to name the people that are in your infrastructure in terms of your administration for Traps, who are those people for you?
So some of them, and it's crazy because some of them came in after me, and then I think they did such a phenomenal job they jumped ahead of me, and then we're back in, you know, it's a back and forth. Erin Hart, she would be number one because she came in after me in the North region, and I kind of handed off the North region director to her. She went to president. I followed in behind her. And now, you know, we've been in this relationship back and forth where we're supporting each other and supporting each other are trying to accomplish. Heather Lambert, we've been together, our North region director currently, we have worked together for years and years in the North region. Lindsay Dobson, amazing. She's from Coppell. She's done an amazing job. I would say some of the more recents that I did not introduce them in, but I have found extreme value in them and working with them is Jeff Ashe. He with legislative work, he's doing amazing job. Madison Seil from the Young Professionals. She actually worked for us in Great Mind at one point. And she's flourished beyond that, and we're so proud and so happy for her. But just doing amazing work with the Young Professionals Network. And again, I'm going to be missing people and forgetting people, and I apologize for that because this
is not an exhaustive
list. Yeah, but those are the people that you know, that have really been right there with me. And then, of course, I would say the people that get overlooked so much is the Great Mind team, because they carry a lot of this load with me. When we're hosting something, or they're the ones that are there till late. They're the ones that are there early, trying to get things set up, trying to get things taken down. And whatever's needed, they're there to do it. And so, you know, I couldn't do any of it without them. So thankful to them.
I'm going to hit you with a bit of hard-hitting journalistic questions here that we've done our research on. So we talked to Heather Lambert earlier today. We talked about Harry Potter. Are you a Harry Potter fan, Trent? Are you a Harry Potter guy at all?
If I say no, am I in trouble?
No. You're on Team Will. She puts you in House Hufflepuff, if that makes any difference to you at all. Do you have any response to Heather's putting you in House Hufflepuff?
I don't even know what that is, so no.
It means nothing to her. Yes.
Well, we both end up in Hufflepuff together, so we're team Hufflepuff with the Badgers, I guess, or something like that.
Okay, so when you were thinking about your team, think about a stage in your career where you weren't the president.
Okay.
You were, when you talk about how your relationship with Erin, how you were supporting her when mm-hmm. she was going up for president, if you're having to give advice for some of our younger listeners, maybe right out of college, and they're like their first, second, third year professionals, what are some words of wisdom that you'd give to them about how they find that person?
Yeah.
Like, how do they find their Erin Hart, their Trent Kelly?
Well, I forgot Mary Jimenez. Amazing job by her. Mary, she's been right there with me through all this, so I don't want to forget her. But my words of wisdom to them would be, because it seems like, and again, this is... it seems like a lot of people, and I'm not saying young people, it's at all levels. Everybody expects things quickly now.
Yeah.
And there's not a ton of people that want to get in there and do the work. And if you want to do well in this society or in your profession, then this is my opinion and my recommendation. Be a person that gets in there and does the work. Go at it. Go hard. I was, like I said, I would have every month, I would have Julie Rosales, that used to be with the state office for traps. I had her send me the entire membership list for traps every month, with everybody that was expiring, with everybody that was renewing, and with all the new members. And I would go through that list every month, and I would contact all those people. And that's the reason we've had a lot of people that were not successful in that position, because it was just something they wanted to put on their resume. It was something they wanted to get credit for, but not necessarily contribute to. And for me, if you want to become of value to people, be the person that will get in there and do that work. And because of the work that I did over those years, I learned too. I learned how the society operates. I learned how in my city the city operates, because I think this is my sixth position I've been in with the city of Grapevine. I learned about the city. I learned about the organization through putting in that work. And so that would be my main encouragement to people right now, is if you get in the society, do some of the grunt work, do some of the grind, do some of the learning. It does pay off. I know we're in a now society, but you don't become an expert in anything by always the now. You have to get in there and learn.
So learning a bit of patience.
I would say so. And again, there's a balance in that, just like everything. You don't want to, you know, there's waiting too long, and then there's also trying to move too fast. And I would just encourage people, don't be a box checker. Yeah. Some people just do things, it seems like, to check a box. I did this. And other people do things to learn, to grow, to become a value. And I would encourage people, learn, grow, become a value.
So we've got kind of the big thing for a president's term is the State Institute, right? So can you tell us a little bit about what we can expect for that coming up next year? And what's your elevator pitch for those who might be on the fence about going to the Institute coming up here? I think, is it March that we're doing it?
Late February, early March. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. We're in Frisco. Frisco has been anticipating this for a number of years because they were scheduled when we hit COVID. So we did the virtual out of Frisco during COVID. Now we're coming out. They had those plans. They built upon those plans. They are ready.
They got to do a small little run through, didn't they? And a couple with the little virtual stuff. And now they get to really hit it big, right?
Yes. Well, and they've been anticipating this whole time. They're ready to go.
Yeah.
So they had a plan. They made the plan even bigger, better. And I will tell you this. We are investing our North Region resources in it, in that we're canceling the North Region Conference and golf tournament next year because we're coming in full support of the State Institute being in the North Region and NRPA being in the North Region. So when we go to Frisco, I'm taking over the golf tournament for the state, so I'll be running that golf tournament for the State Institute. So we're gonna do it like we.
Yeah, but I say, don't rip my heart out, Trent, and take away the golf tournament from me. All right,
we will be back. We're going all out at that. We're going all out with a lot of the sessions that we're looking at, but just the things that Frisco has to offer with their partnership with the Cowboys. I mean, just all the partnerships they have.
The Rough Riders right there.
Yeah, so many amazing venues. It's if you miss out, you're going to be listening to all the other professionals talk about what an amazing time they had in Frisco. And the good thing about this is everybody in the North Region, you're going to be at home. So if you come over, spend time with, but you can go home in the evening if you want. And so I would not want to be one of the professionals that misses out on this, just because this is probably going to be one of the biggest ones we've ever had because of the location and because of everybody's kind of back now. And you know, you don't want to miss out on those big opportunities because you could really miss something special and miss some major connections that could change the trajectory of your professional career.
Absolutely. And I've been meaning to tell you, I'm not the biggest Cowboys fan in the world. I won't lie to you there, but I did see you hooked me up with the Dak Prescott cart at the golf tournament a couple weeks ago. So, you know, I see that you see me as Dak and kind of that quarterback role. So I just want to say I appreciate you.
Well, it was the hip movement that you were doing. It kind of reminded me of his warm-up routine. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have it on the golf course, that's for sure. But in the warm-up, that's awesome.
Well, Trent, we're running out of time, and so we always want to do a few things at the end of each episode. Okay. So, Will.
Yeah, you might have heard this one, obviously, maybe hopefully been thinking about it. What's your walk-up song that's going to get you pumped up? When you first come out there to do your presidential minute in front of everybody in Frisco, what's going to be your walk-out song?
Oh, I have not heard that, and I have not thought about that, but... So I do like old school country, but if I'm getting hyped up, I'm probably not coming out to old school country. I'm probably coming out to maybe Mystical or Little John and the East Side Boys or something. So I think that's probably a route
Trent,
I would be going.
Just surprised every single person. I love it. Yeah, I love it. Okay.
What's kind of your perfect day of recreation? We're so worried about giving awesome recreation to other people, and we're so wrapped up in that. So hypothetically, the podcast is so well funded that we're just going to throw a bunch of money at you, and you can do whatever you want for your day of recreation. What are you doing?
Me personally, so I don't know if people know this. I coach college prep softball for girls, and so fast pitch. And so for me, I'm probably, if I had a perfect day of recreation, it would probably be coaching those young people at a national tournament. And so I would, I'd probably want to take them somewhere in California or Oklahoma is kind of the mecca for softball. So probably somewhere in Oklahoma City area or California. But I love that. I love teaching. I love helping those young ladies as they pursue their college aspirations. And so just it's so rewarding. And we've been fortunate. I think we've got over 130 college commits now from our team. So,
Can I just note that when given an opportunity to be selfish, you're like, "What's your?"
Right. Yeah,
he's like, "I'm going to help others still."
You having fun? But if that's fun for you, that's
well that's
no. That, I love it. It speaks highly of your character and your kindness. But
well, thank you.
I really like that. Like selfishly, what's your perfect day of rec? And it's still I'm giving back to others. That's so cool to hear.
Well, thank you. And again, I love it. It's a joy to be a part of. And you know, I think it's for all of us, you know, kind of like giving gifts, when the excitement and joy you see when you give somebody a gift is usually more than when you receive something. Kind of the same thing with those girls, watching them and their families as it's, you know, they accomplished this goal they've worked for their whole lives. And, you know, kids dream of, I'm going to play in college. And to see that, it's extremely rewarding.
Okay, so the last thing, we always want to leave our guests with the last word.
Okay.
With, if you were having to distill the most important aspects of our conversation today, what would be the thing that you would want people to walk away knowing?
I would encourage them to please take the time to invest in your career and yourself. And the way you do that is we are relational people. And the way you invest in yourself and you invest in your career is by engaging with others. And so I would encourage everybody, don't sit in a silo, don't go to work, go home, make it a job, make it a career, make it a passion, make it part of your life. And again, you need to have life balance, but if you really love what you're doing, it is a part of who you are. And if you surround yourself and make contacts with other people, like-minded people, and again, maybe not even like-minded, like they have a like interest, but they come at it from a completely different perspective, you're going to have a rewarding career. It's gonna make for a great life, and you, I think you will be extremely satisfied in what you accomplish.
All right. Thanks for sitting down with us.
No, Jordan, Will, thank you all.